Touch it.
I did.
Okay.
Shkoyach, everybody, for coming. Thank you very much to the Rosh Chayil for giving me the opportunity to speak. And of course, thank you to Shari Tfila for allowing us to have usage of this unbelievable Beis Medrash and Beis Knesses. Okay, so we're discussing the sugya of Tzar Bal Chaim. Somebody wrote animal rights, but really what we want to discuss is human rights. And we want to know what the human right is as binageya, as in regards to animals. Can we kill animals when we need to, and so on. So the first thing that I want to discuss is if Tzar Bal Chaim is d'oraisa or is it d'rabbanan. There's a few gemaras in the papers. I have to work out the papers over here. So on page number one, you have over here the top gemara on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis in Bava Metzia, that the gemara over there says that according to the two opinions quoted on the previous Amud, Midivrei Shneim Nilma, those two Tanaim learned that Tzar Bal Chaim is d'oraisa. There's also on the next page, there's a gemara in Shabbos, that the gemara in Shabbos over there is talking about, if you have an animal that's carrying stuff that fell into a stream and you want to get it out. So the Gemara says over there you could pile up stuff on the floor and allow it to climb out of the stream. So the Gemara over there says that there's a problem over there that's called bitul kli meichane. What bitul kli meichane means that you're taking the stuff, you're going to get it ruined, you're going to get it dirty, you're not going to be able to use it on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to make a keli, you're not allowed to take it and take away its usage on Shabbos. This is an issur d'rabbanan, it's related to muktzah. So, Gemara says, it's a shayla exactly what the issur is, but al kapanim is issur d'rabbanan. So the Gemara says over there that asi tzar bal chaim, which is d'oraisa, and it's doiche this issur d'rabbanan, and you're allowed to do it. Rashi over there says, what's the tzar bal chaim d'oraisa? Because it says azoiv tazev. Azoiv tazev is what the Gemara in Bava Metzia is talking about. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, the first Gemara that we quoted, is talking about the mitzvah of prika utina. What's that mitzvah? The mitzvah is if you're walking in the street and you see an animal that's overloaded. So the halacha is that you have to stop what you're doing and you have to go ahead, even if the owner will not pay you. You have to go ahead and unload that animal because, says Rashi, says Azoiv Tazoiv Imoy, says Rashi, this is the source where we learn out that Tzar Bal Chaim is Aser from the Torah. There's four other opinions and that I saw brought down where the source is that it would be Aser min HaTorah, and I myself came up with a fifth, but I'm not sure if it's true. Okay, so that's Rashi's opinion, is that you learn it out from the mitzvah of prikutina. The mitzvah of unloading and helping somebody load an animal and unload the animal is why do you have to help him unload it? He's not going to pay you. We learn that that's because of Tzar Bal Chaim. There's the Rabbeinu Peretz and the Ritvan, that Gemara in Bava Metzia. Most of the Rishonim are on that Gemara in Bava Metzia. They learn that even though the Gemara says Tzar Bal Chaim is the Oraisa, but there's no source for it in the Torah, and it's a halacha l'moshe misinai. That's how Rabbeinu Peretz and the Ritva both learn over there in Bava Metzia. There's a rivet that's brought down in the Shita Mikubetzes over there in Bava Metzia as well, that we learn it out from the lav of Leisachsim Shor B'dishay, that the Torah says that you're not allowed to muzzle a cow, an ox, while it's trampling the grain to thresh it, and it says you're not allowed to muzzle it. Why not? Say the Rishonim, because it's Tzar Bal Chaim. So this is the Ravid's opinion. The Rambam learns it out. This is unbelievable. The Rambam learns it out from the pasuk by Bilam, that by Bilam it says, "Lama zehi kisa sasoncha? Why did you hit your donkey?" So the Rambam says, the Rambam Mar Nevuchim says, "What's wrong with hitting the donkey?" So he says, because you see from here, the Torah was makbid on Tzar Bal Chaim, that if you're hitting for no reason, this is Tzar Bal Chaim. The Chassam Sofer that I have printed over here on the first page number one, over there, the Chassam Sofer says that he learned that from a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk in Tehillim says, in Ashrei, we say, V'racham aval kol ma'asav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merciful on all his creations. So when I was preparing this, so I said this over to somebody. So he said that Tehillim is like a little bit after the Daraisa level. So how do you have from here a source that it's Daraisa? So I wanted to say that maybe the pshat is like this, that we know that there's a mitzvah to be misdame, to compare yourself to the Rabbanei Shalom. That we said, the Gemara in Shabbos says that we learn out from Vanveyu, Zekeli Vanveyu. Vanveyu is Anivuhu, I and Hashem, that a person should be like the Rabbanei Shalom. And the Gemara says, just like the Rabbanei Shalom is merciful, so we also need to be merciful. Just like the Rabbanei Shalom has different midos, we have to try to act in those midos. So in Mela, that's the pshat. The pasuk in Tehillim is just telling us that this is one of the midos of the Rabbanei Shalom. Once it's one of the midos of the Rabbanei Shalom, obviously we have to be misdame to the Rabbanei Shalom, and this is the source that it's the Araisa. After that, I also saw this pshat brought down in a sefer, so I was very happy. So now the shaila is, if it's the Araisa, what level the Araisa is it? Is it a lav? Is it an asay? Or is it just something that you're not allowed to do? You're not allowed to paint animals. Okay, why not? So the Tshuva Saritvaz brought down on page number 2, 3, the Tshuva Saritvaz says over there that there's no lav and there's no essay. It's just an Isser Torah.
What does that mean?
It means that the Torah said that you're not allowed to do it, but it's not in the it doesn't have the high level of a lav. And there's no high level of an assay, meaning there would be no assay with it.
Is there anything
else
like that?
This is what Hashem wants you to do.
Well,
no, so that if it's a halacha mishmisina, it makes a lot of sense that it's not an assay and it's not a love. But he's saying that he seems to be learning that it's together prika, and still he's saying that it's not a love and assay. It's just learnt out from the reason why the Torah said that you have to do prika. So there's no lav, there's no malchus, there's no asay, there's no asay doicha. But the Prima Gadim and Rabbi Kiva Eger both learn that it has the power of an asay, and they even say that it could be that it would be in certain cases it would be doicha alois the same in atayra. In certain situations, because it has the power of an asay and it's very very strong. So what is the nafkamina if it's the araisa or the rabbana? So we have over here 5 sources in the Torah that it's Daraisa. You have most of the Rishonim learn that Tzara L'chaim is Aser Daraisa, and you have a 2 Shittas in the Rishonim that say that it's only the Rabbanan, and we'll see later on if we can, you know, where they're coming from and how they're learning why the Gemara is Mashma in so many places that it's Daraisa, and they're going to say that it's the Rabbanan. But we have the Re'em and the Marcha both say that the Tzavar L'chaim is only the Rabbanon, and you have all the other Rishonim basically going that it's the Raisa. What's the Nafkamina? So I have over here 3 Nafkaminas written down in my paper. There are more, but I have 3 written down over here. So one is the Gemara that we spoke at, the Gemara in Shabbos, that the Gemara says that if Tzavar L'chaim is the Raisa, then it's Mutter to Mivatal Kli Mehechanai, which is only the Rabbanon. But the Gemara is mashma, if it would only be the Rabbanon, then you would not be allowed to be mevatel the Kli Meichana. You would not be allowed to put the blankets and whatever it is on the floor to allow the animal to get out of the stream, because you're being oivernis the Rabbanon by doing that, and one Rabbanon is not stronger than another Rabbanon, and we would not allow it. So that's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina would be, this is a very, very interesting nafkamina. The Minchas Chinuch learns that there's a whole nafkamina in the gather of the Isser based on if it's Daraisa or if it's the Rabbanon. If you learn that it's Daraisa, says the Minchas Chinuch, and it's Mevor in the Rishonim like this as well, but the Minchas Chinuch puts it down very, very clearly. If it's Daraisa, then not only is it Aser to cause pain to animals, but it's also a mitzvah to take away pain that is by an animal. Because we're learning it out from Prika, and Prika, you didn't do it, somebody else did it, or it's there on its own, and still you have a mitzvah to go ahead and save the animal from the pain. That's all if it's Daraisa, says the Minchas Chinuch. But if you learn that it's Derabbanon, so if Tzavar L'chaim would only be Aser Midirabbanon, then it's only that you're not allowed to inflict pain Biyadayim. But to save it from pain, that the Chachamim never made such a mitzvah, and there's no, and that wasn't v'geder hadvarim. And he proves it when he with a long back and forth from the Gemara in Bava Metzia, that the Gemara in Bava Metzia on the Halamed Beis is bringing raya's back and forth, if it's the raya or the rabbanon, and based on a series of Gemara's questions, he proves that if it would be the raya, then it would be a mitzvah to save it from pain. And if it's only the Rabbanon, then there's no mitzvah to save it from pain. It's just a mitzvah not to inflict damage and pain on the animal. Now, the Prima Gaudim says an unbelievable third nafkamina, which I find fascinating, is, do you say that there's an iser of amira la'akum on tzavar l'chaim? Because we know that all mitzvahs deraisis, there's an averi. You're not allowed to tell a goy to do it either. It's not just halacha and Shabbos. It's halacha in all averis. If it's deraisa, there would be an iser amir la'akum. But if it was only a derabbanon, so then the amir la'akum would be mutter. This is what the Prima Gaudim says.
Is it a case of amir la'akum?
Amir la'akum means you tell a guy, do me a favor, kill, beat up this animal. I don't like it, it's bothering me, beat it up. Train it for the dog racing, or whatever it might be. Michael Vick, what?
Can I tell a guy to wear shabbos?
Can you tell a guy to wear shabbos? The guy's wearing the. I'm saying he's not wearing it for you. Over here,
you have
Amir Lakum is you have a bird, and you don't want it to fly around. So you want to clip its wings. So clipping a bird's wings is Tzavar L'chaim.
Can you tell a guy to steal?
So that's for himself. I told him to tell a guy to do it for you.
Steal for you.
So it could be the shlichus for that anyways. Yeah.
Huh?
It could be the shlichus Lakum L'chumra. I don't know. Again, so the shayla is if there's an amir la'akum, says the Prima Gaudim, if it's the raisa, there's an iser of amir la'akum, and if it's the rabbanon, then you're allowed to tell the goy to do it. The Maaseh of the Prima Gaudim says that probably even if it's the raisa, there's no amir la'akum, because the Prima Gaudim has a shita that there's no amir la'akum on the essay, only on the lav. That's just zaitik. Okay, fine. So, what? When do we say that you're allowed to go ahead and say that you're allowed to do the Tzavar L'chaim? So we had a Gemara over here on page number. This is hard to navigate. Okay, so the first Gemara that we're going to quote is a Gemara on Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, page number 6. Okay, page number 6. The Mishnah over there says that the halacha is that you're not allowed to sell the Mishnah on the bottom. The halacha is you're not allowed to sell a white chicken to a guy because the white chickens are served and they're used for Avodah Zarah. So Mela, we don't sell a white chicken to a guy. So if you're selling a whole pile of chickens and in there is a white chicken, so we say that's okay. Because you know you're not selling it straight, it's included, and the guy might not even know that it's there. But Al-Kapanim, the Mishnah says that if you have a white chicken on its own, plain, you're not allowed to sell it to a guy. So what do? If you want to sell it to a guy, says the Mishnah, you chop off one of the toes of the animal. And if you chop off the toe of the animal, so now you're allowed to sell it to the guy because a guy will not bring for a carbon a chicken that's a balmum. Because they learn out of the Bnei Noach that the Tosfos that's quoted earlier in Avodah Zarah that says that a goy will not bring a carbon that's a balmum, learned from Noach, that Noach would not be makar of balmum. All goyim will not bring a carbon, a sacrifice, to their Avodah Zarah if it's a balmum. So the question is, how are you allowed to chop off the foot of this bird? It's Tzavar L'chaim. So There's many terutzim in the Rishonim and the Achronim. So the Shvus Yaakov posits two terutzim. He says maybe this is called tzarech mitzvah, because since you want to sell the animal to the guy, and you don't want the guy to go ahead and bring it as a zevach, as a sacrifice to the Avodah Zarah, so it would be a mitzvah for the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make sure that the guy won't do it. But the question on that is that it's not really so much of a mitzvah. You could just not sell it, and then it's not a mitzvah. So, like, why are you selling it? Who said it's a mitzvah? So Lamaisa the Shavsi Yaakov posits another teretz, and he says that you see from here that for a revach mamon, for a financial gain, one is allowed to do it tzar b'alei chayim. I will explain why in a minute. Why are we saying that for financial gain or for other reasons? We'll see that you're allowed to do tzar b'alei chayim. But he says over here, he learned that from that Gemara, that for financial gain you're allowed to cause tzar b'alei chayim. There's also a Tosfos Chadashim that should be on the side over there, on the side of that page, page number 6, that he says over there, even though Tzar B'alei Chaim is Dairaisa, that the Chachamim have a power to uproot the din of Tzar B'alei Chaim in a situation where they see fit that you're allowed to. That's what he says. And then he says one more teretz over there, that maybe it's talking about that you cut it off in a way that it doesn't cause the animal any tzar, somewhere that you cut it off with a poison, somehow you put the wart medicine on it, and the thing will fall off, but it doesn't cause it pain. So you see over here that it runs the gamut of for a mitzvah it's mutter, for a revach mamain, for a monetary gain it would be mutter, or that the chachamim have a power at their discretion to decide that even though it would be Tzar B'alei Chaim is Dairaisa, but the Chacham have a power at certain points to uproot it in places that they see fit. Right, so we find in two other places where the Chachamim were Oiker didn't Tzar B'alei Chaim even become Vaseh. One example is in the previous Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there says that you're not allowed to make a behema hektish bizman hazeh. Now, if you do, what's the halacha? So the halacha is, turning back to up here, you lock it up in a room and you let it die. So Tosfos asks, what do you mean, how could you let it die? It's tzar b'alei chayim. How could you just lock it up and not feed it? It's tzar b'alei chayim. The Ramban asks this kasha, Tosfos asks this kasha, and the Rishonim say different terutzim. Tosfos says, again, the same idea, that in a situation where the Chachamim saw fit, they are able to say that Tzar B'alei Chaim is mutter. And they bring a pasuk, Tosfos, that's the Gemara's pasuk over here. The Gemara brings the pasuk on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, that it says over there that the Gemara is talking about a different case. The Gemara is talking about if you, the Braisa says that you're not allowed to do business in the shuk of an Avodah Zarah, in the marketplace that they're selling Avodah Zarah, and if you do, so the behemoth that you buy needs to be, you need to be ma'akirit. What does ma'akirit mean over there? It means something to do with the tendons and in the legs. You cut them off, and now the behemoth can't walk anymore. This is the knas that we give to a person who does business in the marketplace of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara asks, that's the Gemara's kasha. So Gemara answers that since the Torah says es suseim te'aker, that the Gemara is quoting their pasuk in Yeshua, that the pasuk over there says that when you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael and you're going to defeat the Zion Amim in Eretz Yisrael. So when you're going to get those horses, so you have to destroy them and make sure that they can't walk anymore. You have to dehoof them. I don't know exactly what the proper English word for this is, but you cut the hamstrings, you cut off certain nerves that make it that you can't use these anymore. So Tosfos learns out from there on this page over here, and Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Tosfos says that if you hold Tzar B'alei Chaim Daraisa, so what would be the heter? Maybe over there, Torah says you're allowed to do it, but in other cases you're not allowed to do it. So Tosfos says no. You learn from here that because the Torah said by Yeshua that when you want to make sure that there's a goy, you wanna knock out the goy, like Rashi says, you wanna be roy to him, you wanna hurt him, and you wanna make sure that he's not going to be able to have enough from it anymore, and you're allowed to do it. So you see that for Tzar B'alei Chaim, the Chachamim have the power to go ahead and do this, even in other cases, not only in that case, but the Chachamim have the power when they want to go ahead and do this. So according to Tosfos, it should come out that it's not just a blanket heter whenever you see fit, but you need to have that the Chachamim saw that this was a situation where we should allow the Tzar B'alei Chaim. There's another Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph, that the Gemara over there talks about Wait, this is on page number four. That the Gemara over there says that if you have a horse that the king rode, so the halacha is that the king's horse, so anybody is not allowed to ride it. You're not allowed to use the king's nechasim. So the Gemara says also over there that you do this hamstring, that you cut it. And again, Tosis over there asks, what happened to Tzar Balei Chaim? So the Tosis over there says that Mishum Kvoido Shel Melech, the Chachamim were mate Tzar Balei Chaim. So Tosis' opinion is that you can't just decide to go ahead and say, well, if we want to do this, then we're allowed to do this. Tosis' opinion is that you need to actually, the Chachamim need to say that, yeah, this is a case where we're going to be matir the Tzar Balei Chaim, either because of the covet of the Melech is like a covet the Rabbim, or the covet Melech Venasi, different ways, but the Chachamim decided that in this situation, it's mutter.
Be a dime.
You're allowed to go ahead and cut and cut off the cut it, make it that the animal can't walk anymore.
Without be a dime.
For example. I don't understand the question. Sorry. You're allowed to do a be a dime, so for sure you're allowed to do a shalom be a dime.
No, even without this major reasoning, could be they were allowed.
I hear. Okay, but according to Tosfos, we have no proof. But the Ramban says that no, from the fact that the Torah said, as the same to Haker, that means that the Torah is telling us, that the Pasuk is telling us that you're allowed to go ahead and do this. It's mutter 100% that Lutzarech Adam for a person's use, that in order not to get involved in a takala, because you're not allowed to do this, it's an avera to go ahead and use the king's stuff. So since that would be a takala for me, I'm allowed to go ahead and hurt the animal to make sure that I don't get involved in an iser. So to be mineya from an iser, the Rishonim are saying that you see from here clearly that's called a tzarech, that you're allowed to go ahead and do Tzar Balei Chaim. There's a Ran as well, that the Ran says, that the Ran in Shabbos on Kof Nun Daled, that the Ran says as well that every Tzar Balei Chaim L'Tzarech Adam is mutter, and he says because if not, how would a person allowed to go ahead and load up his animal with stuff? What do you mean? It's Tzar Balei Chaim. How are you allowed to hit your animal if it's not going on the road properly? You're right, that in a situation where you're being cruel to it, that would be awesome. But in normal situations, it's mutter. Why is it mutter? Obviously, that we're not so worried about the feelings of the animal. Because the Ramban explains in Chumash that by Adam Arishon was not allowed to eat meat. He was only allowed to eat things that grew. Things that meat, he wasn't allowed to kill animals in order to have food. He wasn't allowed to have a steak. Why not? Because the Ramban says that since animals have feelings and they run away from danger, so Melo, they have this high level. They're not just like a plant that they just sit there when you're ready to cut it down. The plant's not running away from you, but the animal is running away from you. So the animal has a feeling. So Melo, he says that it's on a high level. It's not like a human, but it's on a high level. You're not allowed to kill it. But when after the Mabel, when everything was supposed to die, and the whole Kiyum HaOlam is only four people, so therefore, says the Ramban, so now that the animal is only here for me, the animal is only here to serve me, and therefore, I'm allowed to go ahead and use the animal for my purposes, I'm allowed to kill it to eat it. Says the Ramban, but that's why you need to kill it in the proper way. You need to kill it with a shechita. Because if you're going to kill it any other way, you're going to cause it pain. And since it has some sort of bechira to run away from danger, so it means we're not supposed to just go ahead like before, like by Adam. You're not supposed to go ahead and kill it just by hurting it. Rather, you have to do it with a shechita, and which is the least tzar to the animal. So there's a very interesting machlokes between the Noida Bihuda and the Minchas Yosef. That the Noida Bihuda says, if let's say you have the Minchas Yosef says, if let's say you have an animal, that this animal is for sure a trefa, you definitely can't eat it. Says the Minchas Yosef, based on this Ramban, that shechita is the best way to kill an animal, any other way would be tzar b'lechayim. So then you would have to kill the animal with shechita, even though it's for sure not going to be a kosher animal. Because why hurt the animal if you don't have to? You could kill it with a shechita without hurting it. So mainly you're not allowed to kill it any other way. It says the Noida B'Yehuda. No, he says you're not allowed to. Because if you kill it with a shechita, so then people are going to, might come to make a mistake and say that the animal is kosher. So he says to be moineya, this takala, to take you away from this takala and say that people might say that this meat is kosher and they might come to eat it. So therefore you have to go ahead and kill it in a way that the buyer will see that the animal is taka, not kosher, and therefore nobody will ever come to eat it. So now he's saying that even though it's a better misa, but over here I have a tzairich, I have a need to go ahead and kill it in a way that everybody should know that it's not kosher. So the Chasam Sofer explains the Ramban finishes off with a very interesting thing. The Ramban says that, and that's why we make a bracha, Asher Kedashanu Mitzvayseh V'Tzivanu al Hashchita. So he says, what the Chasam Sofer explains, what does the Ramban mean when he finishes off after he explains that before Noach you weren't allowed to eat meat, and after Noach you are allowed to eat meat. And he says that's, and therefore kill it with shechita, which is a misa yafa, the softest misa, and therefore we make a bracha. So Chasam Sofer says what the Ramban means is that the bracha on shechita is, it's ki'ilu, it's as if the person is saying, Asher kidashanu b'mitzvaysav v'tzivanu l'rachem ala briyas. That the Rabbanu Shalom commanded us to be merciful to his creations. And that is the bracha on shechita. This is the kavana in the bracha of shechita that a person has to have in mind. I mean, this is what the bracha means according to the Ramban. That it's a bracha on tzar b'lechayim. It's a bracha to be merciful to animals. There's another Ramban in Parshas Kisetze, the Ramban over there says, that's quoted in one of the pages over here. The Ramban over there says that in Shiluach HaKan, let's try to find it. I don't know where it is. Okay. So the Ramban over there says by Shiluach HaKan that the Gemara says if a person says that the reason for Shiluach HaKan is because the Ribbono Shel Olam is a Rahman. I don't see the number, 10. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is a Rahman. So it says the person's not allowed to say the Mishaskinoi say. So we say why? Because it's not because of Midas, it's a gzeir from the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what the Gemara says. So the Ramban says if the reason for Shiluach HaKan would be because the Ribbono Shel Olam was having rachmanis on the animal, then he would have also told us that we're not allowed to shecht an animal for our purposes. You see clearly from the Ramban that shechita is something that normally would have been aser, because killing an animal is tzar lechayim, but the Chachamim said that l'tzarich adam, it's mutter. However, there are many, many, many rishonim that argue on this whole idea. And they say that there's no such thing that killing an animal is tzar b'lechayim. Because we have a Gemara on the Avzayin Amud Beis in Chulin. The Gemara over there says that when Reb Pinchas Ben Yair came to Rebbe's house, is that the case? Yeah. So he saw that he had these white mules. So he said, white mule, the Gemara says somewhere that if a white mule kicks you, there's no refuah for it forever. It's very dangerous. So he said, so Reb Pinchas Ben Yair said, the Malach HaMavet is in this person's house and I'm going to come and eat by him, I'm not eating here. So Pinchas Ben Yair said, so Rebbe said, okay, you know what, I'll sell them. So he said, sell them, you're going to be over Lifnei Iver, the next guy's going to own it, you can't sell it. So he said, okay, I'll be mafkir it, I won't be over Lifnei Iver. So he says, you mafkir it, they're going to have white mules running in the street, you're even making it more dangerous. Can't do that either. So he says, okay, you know what, I'm going to do this dehoofing thing. I'm going to hammy it. I'm going to hamstring it that it can't, it won't be able to kick anymore. So he said, that's tzar b'lechayim, you're not allowed to do that. So then he says, okay, you know what? I'll kill them. So Gemara says, kill them, you're not allowed to do it. It's baltashkes. So you see from the Gemara that the Gemara changed from tzar b'lechayim to baltashkes. So you see from the Gemara that the Gemara held that even though hurting it would be tzar b'lechayim, but killing it would not be tzar b'lechayim, it would only be a different issue of baltashkes. Many of the Rishonim go with this lahalacha, and they say that the only time that the Torah said that you're not allowed to hurt an animal, that's if you're going to leave it alive, and you're going to hurt it. But if you're going to kill it, there's no iser of tzar l'chaim. The Torah never said that. The Torah allowed that. The animals are here to serve us. We're allowed to kill animals. There's not a problem of killing animals. The only problem of causing them pain, not with killing. But you see from this Ramban and many of the Rishonim that deal with shechita, and they're saying that shechita is the best way to kill an animal because killing an animal is tzar l'chaim, that they're arguing. So this is a machlokes in the Rishonim what to do with killing of the animals. So now there's a very interesting Noida Yehuda that the Noida Yehuda discusses hunting. He wants to know, what's the halacha? Can a person hunt for pleasure? That is, the shiloh, this person, he inherited a huge piece of land, and he has all sorts of wild animals on it, and he wants to go hunting. So the Noida Yehuda goes through the halacha, and he says that there's no problem of tzar l'chaim. And one of his tzirufim, one of his reasons for saying that it's not a problem, is number one is that it's for pleasure, and another one is that killing an animal is not a problem, because the only problem is hurting an animal, not killing. So then if you're going to say that the guy's not such a perfect shot, so he might not kill it. So the achronim is this on the neighborhood, that if his whole reason, if one of the reasons why he's allowing it to be done, to kill the animal, to hunt the animal, is because killing an animal, there's no tzar l'chaim, only hurting the animal. So how come you're allowed to hunt? You might not kill it. So he says, if you're going to cause it pain when you don't kill it, that's just a davashen mischaven. That's not what you wanted to do. You wanted to kill it, and davashen mischaven, something that I didn't intend to happen, is a heter and kol Torah kula. And the Meila, he says, it would be mutter mitzar hadin. As far as tzar l'chaim is concerned, says the Nevi Yehuda, it would be mutter to go hunting. It's not about tashkis, because you're going to use the leather. Oh, so I'm going to get back to that Gemara in a second. Yeah, the Rishonim all knock off. A lot of the Rishonim deal with that. But let me just finish with the Noida Yehuda over here. So, what's that? So the Noida Yehuda says that Lamaisa, even though it's not Aser, Mitzad, Tzar L'chaim, however, it's Aser for other reasons. Number one, he says that the only two hunters we find in the Torah are Nimrod and Esav. So it's definitely not a Jewish thing, and you're in pretty bad company if you go hunting. And number two, he says that Esav said, "Hinni, I'm going to die, right? Hinni hadach lamas, lamas ali b'chayra." So he says, why did Esav think he was going to die? He says, because hunting is dangerous. So if hunting is dangerous, and you might die, so you're not allowed to put yourself in a situation of sakana. So he says, so number one, it's not ethical. And number two, you're putting yourself into a situation of sakana. And number three, he says that when you put yourself into a sakana, then you're running the danger of the Rabbanu Shalom remembering all your bad things, which is not a good idea, because when the Rabbanu Shalom is going to remember all your bad things, then you might end up getting punished. The person's not allowed to put himself in a sakana. So he says that therefore it would be aser to go hunting. Derech agav, there's an arzeruah in Hilchas Shabbos, that the Arzeruah says that if somebody goes hunting with dogs to chase down the animals, he says that this person is Eino Yiroya B'Simcha Shel Avyasam. Now, I don't know why the punishment is so strong, but it seems that Simcha Shel Avyasam might have something to do with a hunt, that there's going to be a hunt to chase down the Avyasam. And if this person took part in a hunt in Olam Hazeh with dogs, the way the Goyim do it, then he's not going, meet the connected media, he's not going to see in that special simcha of the hunt of the Leviathan. That's their chakav. So back to this Gemara, so the Rishonim say that you have no proof, b'chlal over here, that tzar l'chaim, that killing an animal is not tzar l'chaim. Maybe really killing an animal is tzar l'chaim. But over here, he wanted to save all the people from getting hit. So that's what that's what some of the Rishonim say, and other Rishonim say that really both of them are tzar l'chaim. But I need to take the lesser tzar l'chaim because I'm doing it l'tzarich adam. Doesn't mean I'm allowed to do whatever I want. I'm doing it l'tzarich adam. I'm doing it for the person's needs. So the animal shouldn't be mazik somebody. The animal shouldn't hurt anybody. So if you need to do it for the needs, so what should you do? Should you hurt it in a way that it's going to be hurting for the next 20 years? Or should you hurt it in a way that it's done? So he says it's better to hurt it in a way that to kill it than to be accurate. Just see what I'm up to here. How much time do I have left? Right, so they hold that avada killing an animal is tzar b'lechayim, and therefore, right, do the least way, right. So that's machlokes in the Rishonim. L'maaseh and Rabbi Yehuda goes la'halacha, and many others go la'halacha, that it's mutar to kill animals. There's no din tzar b'lechayim at all. But even if you want to say that there is a din tzar b'lechayim, then kill it in the best possible fashion.
If in the manner of shechting an animal for consumption in the halachic manner that it's supposed to be done in a real quick thing, doesn't that mitigate the tzar b'lechayim aspect?
It makes it less, but it doesn't take it away totally. So therefore, if the animal, if you don't have to kill it, you don't say, well, okay, I'm just gonna kill it anyways with shechita because there's no tzar b'lechayim. They hold if you're not gonna eat the animal, you're not gonna use it, so you can't just kill it because you want to have a good time. You have to have a reason for it. So and then the tzar b'lechayim would be mutter according to those rishonim. So, really. Okay. So we see over here pretty much. Oh, so. There's a Shulta Gibarim and a Martcha that they say that when it's a tsar gadol to the animal, then it would be tsar b'lechayim would be d'oraisa, and when it's not a tsar gadol, I don't know what gadol and katan is. I don't know what the levels are. But if it's a lot of pain, then it would be also d'oraisa, and if it's not a lot of pain, it would be also d'rabbanan. But we see la'alacha. We have a Ramah. The Ramah says on page number. There's two Ramahs next to each other. Page number 8. The Ramah says over there, one Ramah, he says that he paskins in Reshayim Beis, in Chashim Mishpat, he paskins that Tzar B'lechayim is D'oraisa. And in the other Ramah, he says that L'tzarech Adam would be Mutter. So you see very clearly from the Ramah that even if you hold that Tzar B'lechayim is D'oraisa, however, L'tzarech Adam is Mutter. And I saw last night in a Darkei Tshuva that Tzarech Adam doesn't mean that he has to have even a monetary gain. It doesn't mean that he has to have a physical pleasure. It's just, even, he lowers the standard very low. He says, even if this is just what the guy decided he wants to do, that's also called tzarech adam, and it would be mutter, again, because the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the animals to do with them as to serve us, and if this is going to serve us, then it would be mutter. There is a tshuva from Reb Moshe, that Reb Moshe says, what's that?
The only problem with hunting is that it's goyish.
And it's a sakana. And it's maskirin avanosif. So benageya fishing, it could be that fishing, I don't know if fishing is dangerous, but it could be fishing is not dangerous. And
the danger is that the animal may get you.
Yeah.
The animal, the fish is not going to eat you.
Well, it depends. If you're fishing like Moby Dick, I mean, then it could be fishing is dangerous. But if you're just fishing, so then fishing is probably not dangerous. So and you're doing it l'tzarech adam because you need to relax or whatever the tainug in fishing is. To me, it's just boring. But others find it very pleasurable. So it could be that the reasons for the Nadi Yehuda would not apply. I did see in a sefer that if you're going to eat it, so for sure you're allowed to. That's like shechita. That you're allowed to eat any. You're allowed to kill any animal to eat it. But I did see in a sefer that even if you're fishing for sport, if you plan on throwing it back in, I guess he's being chayshish for the shitas that hold that killing an animal is tzar b'lechayim. So he says, so if you plan on throwing it back in, you're not going to kill it. So then, I guess this level of hooking it and for pleasure and throwing it back in, that's enough. But to kill it, he doesn't want to be matir. I saw others that said that that any sport fishing based on tzarech adam under that rubric that you have whatever you want, like the Darkei Tshuva, that says that basically whatever a person feels his needs are, that would be mutter. Now, again, if a person just feels like he needs to beat up an animal because he's in a rage, I don't think that goes into a need. That guy needs to learn some musr. But I'm talking about an actual need that there's some sort of pleasure involved, that would be a heter to go ahead and do tzar b'lechayim. Now, the Dvar Shal explains that the Torah, when the Torah gave us the din of Tzar Lechaim, the Torah is telling us that the Ribbono Shel Olam created everything for Tayelas. And therefore you can't go ahead and be cruel to those things that the Ribbono Shel Olam created for a reason. But if you have a reason to do it, So then this is included, that's part of the tayalis. There's one of the makaris that letzarech adam is mutter is that the in the Mishkan they use these red skins. Iris elim ma'adamim. They used red skins. So one of the mefarshim on Chumash explained, I don't remember who it is, says how did they make the skins red? So some sheet say that they dyed them, but Avi Fish once showed me in his Chumash that there's a sheet that says that they used to hit them. They used to hit the animal while it was alive, and that caused the blood vessels to explode and dye the skin red. And this was a dyeing. They dyed it in a way that the dye never leaves it. So you see that you're allowed to hit an animal, you're allowed to hurt an animal, l'tzarech adam. Okay. So Reb Moshe has a tshuva as follows. Reb Moshe has a tshuva. Somebody is to Mishayla, if you're allowed to go ahead and trap animals that are bothering you or killing rodents, rats, possums. It seems to be a big issue in the neighborhood these days. So Reb Moshe says that, of course, that based on all these Rishonim that we just discussed and all these Gemaras, that L'tzarech Adam would be 100% mutter, and you're allowed to do it. However, he says over there that he feels that if you can. If one can, one should not kill be a dime. One should not actually go and stamp it with his hobnailed boots, but rather he should trap it in a way and then throw it in the garbage, not actually kill it be a dime. The reason for that is probably based on the Trumas Hadashin. That the Trumas Hadashin says that a person is allowed to do all sorts of tzabar lechayim, letzarech adam. He discusses a few cases where it seems that they held back then in his days that if you pluck the feathers of a bird, of geese or of ducks, it makes them get fatter, or maybe they wanted to pluck them, keep it alive and use it for down quilts. I don't know exactly why they were plucking them while the animal was alive, but they asked him a shayla if you're allowed to do this. And there's another shayla if you're allowed to cut the tongue of a bird in order to make it talk. Again, I don't know what the metzius of that is either. Maybe it would sing a lot if you heard it. And the cutting off the tail or the ears of dogs in order to make them look nice and so on. And he says that all these cases, since it's L'tzarech Adam, it would be mutter. However, he says over there that a person maybe should not hurt his animal, kill his animal, be a dayim, because people are chayshish, that it's mashrish in them a midah of achzarius. It brings in them a midah of cruelty. So since the person doesn't want to put into him the midah of cruelty, so therefore that's why people are moneah from killing animals, even though it's mutter, because they don't want to make themselves get the midah of cruelty. But it seems that it's really mutter according to the Trumas Hadashin, but a person maybe should not do it on his own. So if a person wants to cut his bird's mouth, so maybe, and he doesn't want to get cruel, so he should bring his bird to the vet and let the vet do it. As far as clipping the wings of a bird, so that's the real tzav al-chaim. Your mom is cutting off a bone, I think. So, again, if this is called tzarech, because you don't want it to fly around, or maybe one might argue that you don't have to have a pet bird. But then you could argue that on the Trumas Hadashin as well, that you don't have to have the pet bird while you have to cut its mouth. So it would seem from the Trumas Hadashin that Be'etzim it would be mutter. The best idea would be to bring it to the local Goyish veterinarian and let him cut it for you. And like we said before, that there's probably no Isser of Amir La'akum, so Mele would be mutter. I think that the best that the better that you should use the best possible trap and get rid of them as quick as possible. Whatever works, because that's basically what we're saying over here, that a person's not mechuyev to suffer on account of the animals. Adarabba, the tzabar lechayim ba'adam is more important than the tzabar lechayim of the animals, which brings us to the next topic. If we have a few more minutes. Well, okay, so Bal Tashchis as well is also a mutter if you have a tzarech. So it's not Bal Tashchis, I'm saying. What? I guess in that situation, they weren't going to use it. I don't know. I'm assuming. Well, I guess they, it was a situation that they weren't going to use the skin or whatever it is. No. What do you mean? Okay, so, yeah, so Reb Moshe over there, the Truma Sadashin and Reb Moshe both discuss it, that really this wasn't the real sakana. Because how could you be choshish that Reb Pinchas Ben Yair would taka have something dangerous in his house? It can't be. I'm sorry, Rebbe would have something really dangerous in his house like that. It can't be. It's just Reb Pinchas Ben Yair's midas chasidus that he held that this was already too much. But avada, it wasn't really dangerous, so Mela, it's not really called a tzairich, so Mela, that's why it would be a baltashchis. That means even though I won't eat in your house because you have it, but you can't kill it because of my chumra, because that's going to be baltashchis for you, because you hold that it's not dangerous. It's like a little bit circular reasoning, because according to Reb Pinchas Ben Yair, it's dangerous. So according to Reb Pinchas Ben Yair, if it's dangerous, it's motu to kill it because it's a tzarech. But he's saying, but you held that it wasn't dangerous, so you can't kill it because for you it would be bal tashchis. Okay, fine.
Tzarech to have
I don't know. I hear it's a good shaila. Okay, so now yeah, 5 minutes. So the shaila is, what's with tzar b'lechaim on humans? Do we say that the same way you're not allowed to inflict pain on animals? So also, you're not allowed to inflict pain on humans. So many of the Rishonim say that Kol Shekhen, the Sefer Chinuch, and the Rambam, and others say that if you're not allowed to inflict pain on animals, for sure, Kol Shekhen, you're not allowed to inflict pain on humans. However, there's a Chavis Yair. The Chavis Yair says that if a person is having pain, he should realize that pain is coming from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Mela. He's Havalel Yisuvei Daite. That's what the Chavis Yair says, that he should calm himself down and realize this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. And if he doesn't, so all the pain that he's having is his own fault, and it's not called that the person is giving it to him. And really, there's no reason, there's no Isser of Tzar B'Lechaim. Tzar B'Lechaim only applies to an animal who doesn't have the brains to understand that it's coming from Hashem. But a person who has the brains to understand that all pain that's happening to him is coming from Hashem, even maybe even pain that's inflicted on him by another human, there would be no Isser of Tzar B'Lechaim, because if he feels pain, that means that he's not holding on the level to understand that it's coming from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's his own fault. This is how he paskins halacha l'maisa. The nafka mina would be by a katan, what? I didn't say you're allowed to do it. I said that there wouldn't be an extra lav of Tzar B'Lechaim. Doesn't say you're allowed to hurt somebody, but the person has to understand that really it's all coming from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's very hard to understand this, but this is how he paskins la halacha. And he says that there's no iser of Tzar B'Lechaim. You can't say when a guy hurts somebody that he did all those isurim that you're thinking about and Tzar B'Lechaim. He did the other things, but he did not do Tzar B'Lechaim.
That's why is it a pain? It still hurts. It may be.
No, he should understand that.
This is how
the Chavis Yair learns. It's very hard for me to understand it as well. But Lamaisa, this is what he says. He says that there's no Tzar B'Lechaim ba'adam. There's a shaila of what he means. Does he mean it in all cases, or does he mean it only L'tzarech Mitzvah? It's a complicated issue exactly what he means. The Tshuva Svarim deal with it, the Michas Elazar and others deal with exactly when he says this, but he says clearly that when you're dealing with a person, there's no din Tzar B'Lechaim. So, what? So Nafgamina is a katan. So a katan can't understand that everything is coming from Hashem. So on the katan, there's for sure Tzar B'Lechaim. So the Peleoid says that those people that they schlep their kids all around town and they don't give them to eat when they're hungry because they need to go shopping now and they need to do this and they need to do that and they need to say a long shtickle tire by the Shabbos table and they don't feed their children and their guests. So he says maybe the guests, there's no Tzar B'Lechaim, because they should understand that the pain is coming from Hashem, but the children don't understand that. So he says those people are seed and lead in a sadin. This is Tzar B'Lechaim d'oraisa, and it's 100% asur. But that is what the Peleoid says. So there's another reason why, there's another svara in the Achronim why Tzar B'Lechaim Ba'adam does not apply, and that is the Ritvaz, that the Ritvaz says that if a person has, he says that if a person loaded himself up with a load, and now he has, now you want to say that maybe we should have to help him unload with the mitzvah of prika, just like you have to do it with an animal. So he says the guy was a shaita who asked him to put so much on, and now he's going to cause other people to have to help him. So he says that if the person caused the pain to himself, then there would be no mitzvah of Tzar al-Chaim. It's his own fault. He's causing himself the pain. I'm not causing him the pain. So nafkamina between the Ritvaz and the Chavis Yair is obviously if the pain is coming from another source, not from the guy himself. If the guy is just in pain, he's hurting, or somebody's hurting him. So according to the Ritvaz, you would have to, it would be an Isser of Tzar al-Chaim to cause him pain in that situation. And according to the Chavis Yair, that is not included in Tzar al-Chaim. So just in conclusion, you have to finish now, right? So just in conclusion.
Quick question. Is it a bigger mitzvah to load your enemy's donkey than to unload your friend's? That seems to be ruined.
Yes. Yes. Because the person who loaded himself up with extra stuff caused himself the pain. So you're not causing him the pain. And if he did it to himself, so that's the pain that he's giving himself. You not helping him is not causing him pain, it's him causing him pain. However, the donkey didn't cause himself pain, somebody else caused him the pain. So you have a mitzvah to take it off. There is still a mitzvah of chesed. Again, obviously there's still a mitzvah of chesed. One should help his friend who's suffering under a load to unload him. But the reason to help him would not be because of Tzar al-Chaim, but rather the reason to help him would be because of chesed.
But it's a bigger mitzvah to load the enemy's donkey than to unload the donkey that's in pain.
That's an extra mitzvah. There's two mitzvahs, here there's one.
No, he's nullifying the Tzar al-Chaim and overcoming his relationship with his enemy.
So there's two mitzvahs over there. One is Tzar al-Chaim, and one is chesed. Helping the person is only one mitzvah of chesed, but there's no mitzvah of Tzar al-Chaim. So there's two mitzvahs versus one mitzvah.
So the mitzvah of helping the enemy is a bigger mitzvah than Tzar al-Chaim.
I don't know if it's bigger. There's two against one. Huh? Yeah, even enemy. What is this? But yes, so there's three. I'm saying there's chesed and there's the enemy and there's making peace and yeah. So there's a lot of there's extra mitzvahs by the enemy as opposed to helping your friend who shouldn't have loaded himself up. He has less. So just in conclusion, so the Chassam Sofer that says that the reason why the Torah said Tzar al-Chaim is aser is because a person has to try to be like the Rabbanu Shalom, just like the Rabbanu Shalom is merciful. So too, there's a mitzvah that we have to be merciful. So our conclusion is that Yiratzayin, that it should be the will of the Rabbanu Shalom, that everybody should understand this and be misnamed to the Rabbanu Shalom and try to be like him, and b'schus that we're going to do chesed and help other people, that should bring us closer to Mashiach, and he should come b'mehira b'imeinu.